Chris Tyson is with us, professor and now adjunct professor at Louisiana State University's Law Center and the president and CEO of the Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority. He's here to talk about what's going on in our community. And when we say redevelopment, there's much that needs to be done. And I'm sure if you drive the city in certain places, you're going to see evidence of what's going on. But what's on the front burner right now, Chris Tyson?
Good morning, Jim. Good to be back with you. A lot of things going on at the Redevelopment Authority. We are excited to be looking at how we stabilize our neighborhoods, revitalize a lot of our disinvested areas for the benefit of those neighborhoods, but also for the benefit of the entire city parish. And so we have a tremendous opportunity in Baton Rouge. Of late, we've been focusing on existing projects. Many people know that we have a great project on Government Street at the Electric Depot, the revitalization of the city's first power plant. And so that project looks to deliver before the end of the year, and we're really excited about that, a great entertainment venue along with housing and commercial space that's going to add to the excitement we see on the Government Street corridor. We also have our Ardendale development, which we've long had. We have the Automotive Training Center with the Baton Rouge Community College there. We just had a ribbon cutting on the new collision wing, so exciting things going on there, and the Redevelopment Authority is excited about that. And we just kicked off a new effort to focus on Plank Road. And there are a lot of pieces about that, and we can talk about that this morning. People have heard about the prospect of bus rapid transit coming to Baton Rouge. They've also heard about our new focus on Plank Road as well. And so we have a lot of things going on, but really excited about the opportunities for Baton Rouge.
Well, Plank Road still has some thriving businesses, as we know. Some of the most famous in all of Louisiana are located on that strip. And what's going on as far as gentrifying Plank Road?
Well, and we certainly don't want to say gentrifying in the sense that, you know, gentrification is usually associated with displacement. And we certainly want to be sure that as we bring neighborhoods back, that all of our residents have an opportunity to benefit from the improvement of their neighborhoods as that happens. We look at Plank Road, and while we have Tony's and when we have, we see great development around the Cristo Rey School, Delmont Village area, the majority of the strip as it runs through the heart of the city, 70805, remains one of the most blighted corridors in the city parish. It runs through the heart of 70805. We know we have a lot of challenges in 70805 with crime, with poverty, and a lot of that is concentrated along Plank Road as well. So we see all of that as an opportunity to revitalize that area through proven strategies and approaches that cities have taken around the country to redevelop their communities, and that it's high time, frankly, that we pursue in Baton Rouge.
What can be done to attract businesses to that area? You mentioned the concerns that many would have. It is a high crime area, and of course there is some blight in the area. So why would somebody locate there?
Well, Plank Road still is a vibrant commercial corridor for the neighborhoods and the communities that surround there. Within the CATS system, that is the second highest transit route in the city. So much of our workforce lives around Plank Road, and so we want to make sure that those communities are stable, that they have resources and opportunities, and there are many neighborhood businesses that if they had an opportunity to locate in some of the now blighted property that's along that corridor, they would do so. And so it's up to us to put together the resources and the plans to do that. We see a tremendous opportunity with launching a bus rapid transit installation along Plank Road. And that's something that the Capital Area Transit System and the city, along with the Redevelopment Authority, are currently pursuing. Bus rapid transit, many people don't know, this would be the first installation in the state of Louisiana, is sometimes called rubber-tired tram. Right? Buses that run on dedicated or semi-dedicated lanes, on express routes, they have signal preemption when they approach intersections, and this allows for a rapid service that gets people where they're going faster creates an amenity for the transit system. It doesn't replace the existing transit line, but it creates an additional amenity that leads to faster service, and we're seeing these types of systems pursued around the country and around the world.
Chris Tyson, now adjunct professor of law at LSU's Law Center and president and CEO of the Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority. He is here talking about what's going on in our community, and he mentioned Plank Road and CATS, and you were on the board for CATS, and of course, in 2012, there was a big tax that was passed. How's CATS doing?
Oh, well, first of all, I reflect fondly on my time on that board. I think transit is a vital need. It's core infrastructure for the city, and I think it's something that I hope this community continues to support. CATS has been an incredible partner as we've thought about transit-oriented development, and that's not something we talk a lot about in Baton Rouge. We're much more of a car-centric city, but for many of our residents, again, our workforce, they rely on public transit. Additionally, when people come here from other places, they're surprised that we don't have a more sophisticated system of transit and more broader public support for that. So I think that this is core infrastructure, and it also is an opportunity for economic development. And transit funds through the Federal Transit Administration, like the Bus Rapid Transit mm-hmm. Project, is not only about transit, but it's also about economic development. And so BRT along Plank has the opportunity to be a powerful anchor for redevelopment, and that's how we want to look at transit projects as well. It's not just moving people, as important as that is, from point A to point B, but also as powerful economic development anchors, particularly mm-hmm. in disinvested communities.
Well, I know one rapid transit plan was suspended, but there are still other things on the drawing board, and perhaps beyond that, what's going on in that realm?
Well, that's a good point. The bus rapid transit pursuit now is actually a revision to the city's prior application for tram along Nicholson. And so in talking with the Federal Transit Administration, we were told that it was possible to take that application and remake it from one for tram along 3 miles of Nicholson to bus rapid transit along 10 miles of the urban core, which includes Nicholson, but also could stretch up to Plank. And so that presents an incredible opportunity. The cost of doing that change is about mm-hmm. a third of the cost of what it would take to do tram. And so this is a much more affordable program. We have brought together DOTD, DPW, CATS, the Redevelopment Authority, many of the players that would need to be involved. It's truly a collaborative effort, and I think that's something that we don't see enough of in Baton Rouge. But this is indeed transferring from that previous tram mm-hmm. project to one I think that is much more economical and achievable and also services many more needs in Baton Rouge.
Now, as far as the CATS system, I live on Park Boulevard. I have a CATS bus stop in my front yard, and quite often I see those buses go by, and there are very few people on them. So what can be done to entice people to ride the bus more?
Well, I think that, and I don't want to speak for the capillary transit system, but you know, having some familiarity with this issue, we typically get the, you typically hear that, oh, I saw a bus go by and no one was on it. I think CATS keeps ridership numbers; they're readily available. Hundreds of thousands of people ride our public transit system every day. They are the people who work in the places that we shop, work in our institutions. We know these people. This is how they navigate the city. When you look at Plank Road, it has the highest concentration of zero-car households in the city parish. That's significant. The city should work for everyone, particularly those who don't have a car, because they perform a vital service in our economy. And so transit is infrastructure. It's also economic development, and that's why we see transit-oriented redevelopment as something we want to focus on.
877-217-5757 is your number. Locally, 297-5633. And you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We're going to spend some more time and go to the phones with Chris Tyson, who is president and CEO of the East Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority. And there's much to talk with him about, including the Village of St. George. What will happen if this becomes a reality? This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Chris Tyson with us for a bit longer, the president and CEO of the East Baton Rouge Parish Redevelopment Authority. 877-217-5757 is your number. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on the air with Chris Tyson.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, sir. I'm noticing that in our state we're starting to, or have been for a while, really shutting down or losing things like, I know, arrest areas that were on I-10 and, you know, going across the state, that some of those have closed and state parks are cutting back. And I know Mr. Nungesser is being very proud of shrinking down the people that work in his department. Is that going to be a continuing trend? I know that...
That's an area that Chris Tyson's not involved with, Phil, but obviously Billy Nungesser is fighting budget situations in his department, and I would think the same is true in parish government as well, that there are some budget considerations. There always are.
Certainly, and thanks for the question, Phil. I have not really up to speed on the rest areas closing or state parks, but I can say that here with the Redevelopment Authority, our jurisdiction is the entire parish of East Baton Rouge. We've been existing since 2007, mm-hmm. and so we're a relatively young Redevelopment Authority. When you look at New Orleans, they are about to celebrate 50 years of the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority. So Redevelopment Authorities have played a key role in coordinating revitalization and development throughout the metropolis, but specifically in areas that are disinvested, and we perform that role as well.
You mentioned Government Street, and a listener asked about this, this is Holly in the Garden District, asking if Government Street can really be turned into a replica of Magazine Street in New Orleans. Some people have said that. I'm not sure that's possible, but what is possible?
I think I've heard that, too. Look, New Orleans is a beautiful and rare place. I think we want Government Street to be Government Street for Baton Rouge. And there's a lot to celebrate about our community, about the development going on in our community. And I think Government Street can be something significant for the neighborhoods of that line, that street, and for all of the community. And when the Electric Depot development that we have, mm-hmm. Coming there right near 15th and Government Street, just south of South 19th, is an important catalyst for Government Street. We're really excited about it. It is an example exactly what the Redevelopment Authority wants to do, not just on Government Street, but throughout the city parish, bring back our distressed and blighted properties into productive use in ways that benefit all of the community.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with Chris Tyson, president of the East Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Hi, Henry.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Chris. Good to talk to y'all. Hope y'all having a great day today. I've got a question, and I'm going to have Mr. Chris put on both his hats, both as head of the Redevelopment Authority and as a law professor. And you brought up St. George just now, Mr. Jim. The St. George movement, once you go through all the different steps and the theatrics, is just a way that hasn't been overturned by the courts yet to get around Brown versus Board of Education. How long does Mr. Chris think it'll take before the courts finally stand up and end all these secessions for the basically to create a white-only school system?
Well, so we were going to talk about St. George. I guess this launches us into it. You know, the caller is speaking to what's going on here and what many feel is an extension of battles that have always gone on in Baton Rouge around school integration and residential segregation. It's also happening around the country. Baton Rouge is not unique in this instance, where we have secession movements where people are trying to contain the flow of their tax mm-hmm. dollars to support efforts in communities that they don't feel, that they share anything in common with. And so what we know about this type of fragmentation in metropolitan areas is that it is disastrous for the entire region. Baton Rouge is trailing other suburban jurisdictions around the country that have done this, and we know that municipalities around the country are facing mm-hmm. fiscal stress because of the duplication and the wasteful spending and everything that comes from that. We know that this would have disastrous impacts on the core of Baton Rouge, and no amount of boundaries or whatever is going to insulate anyone in the metropolitan region from the further degradation of the quality of life for the poorest among us. And so this is something we have to address in a comprehensive fashion. That's part of what the Redevelopment Authority is designed to do, to look at how do we bring resources to distressed communities in ways that lift them up, stabilize them, and contribute to the benefit of the whole. And most of our most disinvested neighborhoods, where we know we have concentrated, spatially concentrated racialized poverty, the only response that we've had has been policing. And incarceration. We know the colossal failure that has been. And so we have to think about poverty. We have to think about redevelopment. We have to think about blight.
What happens, though, if St. George becomes a reality? What does that do to the rest of the parish, if anything?
I think it's going to be a drag on our ability to bring up all areas of Baton Rouge. I think it's going to be a drag on economic development. We're basically going to incentivize flight out of the core of the city, and that's going to further imperil the stability of the tax base there, the resources there, and that isn't good for anyone in the Baton Rouge metropolitan region. And so this, again, is something we've seen be detrimental for communities around the country. We're following down a path that has been...
Is it racially motivated?
I think this is America, so I think we always have race in the mix, right? And it's not always easy to parse out when and where racial motivation occurs. People think that they are doing things that have no impacts on race, but... you know, we are the community with the longest school desegregation case in the nation. And so you simply can't look at present-day Baton Rouge boundaries as they are and not see the impact of racism and the desire of people to remain segregated. And so that's a part of who we are. We have to be honest about that.
We're a couple of weeks removed now from the death of Wade Sims. This occurred in North Baton Rouge. And you have written about this, and certainly we have an epidemic of violence, and that area is particularly vulnerable. What can be done as far as addressing this crisis?
Well, I think a lot can be done, and I think there are people who are working hard in many different areas every day to address the cycles of violence among our youth, but also to create opportunities for youth and communities to stabilize themselves, to have resources, and to have access to opportunity. And I think we have to continue that. As I mentioned, for long periods of time, the only approach that we've really invested in is policing and incarceration. And while we certainly want to see public safety improve, and we know that we count on our police force, and I think Chief Paul and others are doing a great job in restoring confidence in the police department, we have to have other approaches. And so we have to look at the fact that most violent crime occurs within 100 feet of blighted property. And to this point, we've had very little coordination and resources dedicated to removing blight from the community. When the Redevelopment Authority takes property in, adjudicated property, blighted property, into what we call our land bank, we have the responsibility to maintain that property, to ensure that it is not contributing to blight, not contributing to the degradation of the community. And that is a strategy that is relatively new in Baton Rouge, but it's something that communities around the country have been doing for a long period of time with many successes. So there are a number of strategies we can pursue in addition to improving public safety that stabilize these neighborhoods.
877-217-5757. We'll spend a few more minutes with Chris Tyson, President and CEO of the Baton Rouge Redevelopment Authority, and then we'll hear from some representatives of student government at LSU talking about a youth civic engagement forum in Tigertown coming this week. And we pause briefly for the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Talk Louisiana.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Jeff Palermo. A report from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities finds that no other state in the country has reduced funding to higher education more than Louisiana since 2008. There's been more than a 40% decline in state dollars going towards Louisiana colleges. Higher Education Commissioner Kim Hunter Reed is hopeful the budget has been stabilized so the cuts can stop.
We should not reinvest in the same way. We need to have strategic investment. We need to ensure that more people have access to education.
The cuts in state funding has resulted in a $5,000 increase in tuition per student. The Legislative Auditor's Office says the Department of Education is not meeting all of the national best practices when it comes to child care licensing standards. Auditors say Louisiana is one of eight states that allow family and in-home providers to care for more than six children without requiring a license. Louisiana Radio Network.
And they lived happily ever after. The end.
That's how a lot of fairy tales end. But this is the SEC. It's far from a fairy tale. It's Tiger football. It doesn't get any more real. And this is where Tiger Rag Magazine lives and breathes. The stories you find nowhere else. Not fairy tales. Not stories spoon-fed by the athletic department. Behind-the-scenes stories. The stories that put you in the know.
Oh, now that's hot.
Get Tiger Rag Magazine. Get the stories your friends will be talking about. Subscribe now online at TigerRag.com or call Tiger Rag Magazine at 888-328-4437. Tiger Rag Magazine and TigerRag.com. Stories and insights that put you in the know.
Once upon a time.
No fairy tale stories. Tiger Rag Magazine stories. Call 888-328-4437.
The end.
An unbelievable win for the LSU Tigers on Saturday as they trounced Georgia 36-16, knocking them from the list of unbeaten teams. It was quite the performance for the Bayou Bengals, who were coming off a loss to Florida. Coach Ed Orgeron says the defeat in the Swamp inspired them.
We didn't feel like the team just came out and beat us and we couldn't handle it. And that even hurts more. I think that when it does, you screw the screws a little bit tighter. You do the things that you can do. And I think all week our guys had a chip on their shoulder.
Now LSU gets ready for 22nd-ranked Mississippi State. There's a new twist in the saga of the Fort Polk Wild Horses. A Texas A&M professor says a genetic test has indicated they may be a rare breed of horses. Professor Gus Catherine says they tested 20 and found
North American horses that are descended from the Spanish horses brought over during the conquest and colonization by the Spanish.
Fort Polk has been trying to have the herd of 400 to 500 horses removed from the base because of safety reasons. LRN.
This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on WRKF, and thank you for your support last week for the Fall Member Fest. It was successful because of you. And a reminder that you can contribute anytime at WRKF.org, and if you're a fan or if you just have an insight, maybe you got a bone to pick with one of our guests or with me, you can always call us at 877-217-5757 between 9 and 10, or you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Chris Tyson with us for a few more minutes, the president and CEO of the East Baton Rouge Parish Redevelopment Authority, Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on the air with Chris Tyson.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. My question, Mr. Tyson, would be whether there is any more legislation that he would suggest that would cut down the violence in East Baton Rouge. But my main reason for calling, Jim, is to congratulate you on your excellent article in Tiger Magazine on Wade Sims and the need to do something different about our development of the people. Enjoy your article and enjoy the program. I'll take my answer on here.
All right. I was in Tiger Rag, and the Wade Sims tragedy is something, Chris, that focuses us on this crisis that we're having. But unfortunately, a lot of people aren't famous basketball players, and they get killed regularly in our community, over 100 last year. And over the course of a lifetime, if you extrapolate the 1 in 4,000 chance there is of being killed in 1 year, if you live here 80 years, that drops it to 1 in 50. That's not a very good percentage.
Indeed. And look, you know, to the caller's question, to Ray's question, thanks for the question, Ray. I think there are many people more qualified than me to speak about anti-gun violence legislation, anti-violence legislation in general that can be pursued at the state level. What I will say, again, tying it back to the Redevelopment Authority and our central concern around blighted communities and disinvested communities, we believe that while we certainly need to have reforms in public safety, we must look comprehensively at the communities in which much of this violence is occurring, look at the opportunity, the availability of resources, look at the quality of place, the extent of blight, the lack of opportunity, and address that squarely. And so the Redevelopment Authority sees a lot of opportunity for legislative reform in that regard.
Dan downtown, good morning, Dan. You're on Talk Louisiana with Chris Tyson.
Yeah, Mr. Tyson, with regard to the St. George effort in obtaining the signatures, is there any indication that the people that were soliciting the signatures only targeted white people?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any. Thanks, Dan. I'm not aware of any reporting to that effect.
Thank you, Dan. Stephen Dixon writes, does Chris Tyson think there are levels of poverty which impair childhood development? If so, does this impairment require healing in order to prepare children to succeed in school and society at large?
Absolutely. I think poverty, as we know, Louisiana is one of the poorest states in the union. We know that in North Baton Rouge, we have some of the worst poverty in the state of Louisiana. Absolutely, poverty impacts child development, impacts how neighborhoods develop, impacts how people see their opportunities and their relationship to each other. We don't talk enough about poverty in this city or in this country for that matter, and I think poverty is tied to the challenges we look to solve through coordinated, comprehensive redevelopment. We talk about equitable development. We're talking about looking at the disinvestment in some communities and how do we bring more investment to help them come up to the level that we see in other areas. And so poverty is at the core of that, and we have to do more to talk about poverty.
And before we leave, Chris Tyson, you gave a statistic earlier, and sometimes they go in one ear out and out the other, including yours truly, but what was that statistic you gave about blight and the type of crimes that are often associated with blight and the percentage?
I believe violent crime, the majority of violent crime is occurring within 100 feet of a blighted property. And so that is a statistic that ties together the concentration of blighted properties and the likelihood of violent crime occurring. And so, again, our only solutions cannot be to lock everybody up or even to police these areas. While policing is important, we must have a more comprehensive comprehensive view of what is needed in these communities.
Well, thank you, Chris Tyson.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your work, and look forward to our next discussion.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
See you soon.